Hello, off-season dramatics. We've got buyouts, beauties, and Bacchus. First, we chat with now former Minnesota Wild defenseman Ryan Suter's agent, Neil Sheehy, to hear what's next for number 20. And David Bacchus gives us an update on his charity work and his thoughts on next season. Oh, and Jesse and I will weigh in on Seattle's dream-crushing team. As always, all of that and more presented by Soda Stick, brought to you by Better Edge, Jim Beam, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. This is episode 82.
Newly restocked 1980 Herb Brooks Foundation collaborations just in time for the 4th of July holidays can now be found at sodastick.com. Also, don't forget to live that McGolden Light Lake Life or rock a Randy Moss Moon shirt. Snag 15% off all purchases with code BARDOWNBEAUTIES at checkout. Sodastick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting Let's Play Hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. What's up? I'm back. I know y'all missed me last week, right? I mean, it went off the rails, guys. Come on now. Butt chugging, really?
A little went off the rails. I thought it was just fine.
I thought we did a good job.
I was proud of our chemistry.
Yeah, it did go a little off the rails, and I am really glad to hear you do the hello again, because I tried and failed miserably. Like, literally, it's two words, and halfway through the two words, I was like, I'm doing a bad job at this. So, Jesse, welcome back.
Thank you
for returning and not abandoning us forever, because as you all saw in the last episode, we would be nowhere without Jesse.
You guys killed it, as always. Thanks for taking over. Let me have a week up on Rainy Lake. Speaking of Rainy Lake, Neil Sheehy, International Falls native, family friend of ours, so kindly made some time after the buyout news that dropped early last week, dun dun dun, which we'll talk about here. He'll be joining us, and David Bacchus as well. So this is a sick episode. I had to return for this. You know, we got lots going on. Lots to talk about. Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the buyout talk, Alexis? I know we had our own YouTube special. Be sure to go check that out. So that will dive into all of those nitty-gritty details, but leading out from the buyout then was Minnesota's protected list, which was released today, Sunday, because we're recording on a Sunday, so we don't
You're
miss
welcome,
any
everyone.
Goddamn news.
Yeah. You know what's funny is we literally like always joke around about how we record on Fridays and the NHL always does something like right after we record. Well, today we waited until Sunday thinking like, I mean, we knew the protected list was going to come out. We were waiting for that. But we also like expected the Wild to do a whole lot more, and we're like, oh, we'll cover it all on Sunday. Of course, the day that we like wait to record, they don't do anything. So I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So for those who did not see this morning, all NHL teams protected lists and available players were released. They were submitted on Saturday by 2 p.m. Eastern for the Minnesota Wild. You have protected Joel Eriksson Ek, Kevin Fiala, Marcus Foligno, Jordan Greenway, Ryan Hartman, Nico Sturm, Matt Zuccarello, Jonas Brodin, Matt Dumba, Jared Spurgeon, and Cam Talbot instead of Kaapo Kähkönen, which I think is the big noteworthy one. That's making Nick Bjugstad, Victor Rask, Nick Bonino, Kaapo, Carson Soucy, Dakota Mermis, Brandon Minnell, Kyle Rau, Marcus Johansson, Ian Cole, Brad Hunt, Mason Shaw, Dmitry Sokolov, Louis Belpedio, and Andrew Hammond all exposed and available. There were a couple other guys who are mostly Iowa guys that will also be exposed. Kramarosa, who signed a two-year deal with the Wild today, also exposed list. Victor Rask, probably the saddest one to see made available, right?
Yeah, please, Seattle, don't take him. For the love of God, I'd be devastated for years, whatever you do. Please don't take him, please.
The Victor Rask train of like, please don't take him, please, no.
It's a great bit.
It has been strong. Yeah.
It's a great bit. Seattle, please don't crush our hearts. Like you said, Jesse, I think the most interesting one there is the decision on the exposure of which of the two goalies to put out there. And I don't think it's entirely surprising the Wild went with Talbot. It felt like everyone was kind of on board with that was what they were going to end up doing. doing. I have been on the train of, you know, expose Talbot and protect Kaapo Kähkönen. I didn't think it was going to happen, but that I thought it was a good idea. But that's why I'm not a GM. I'm a podcast host. But that's what they ended up doing. And, you know, you take a look at like who's available for goalies. And at first I was like, oh, there's a lot of good options out there. I don't think they're going to take Kähkönen. Like literally I tweeted that this morning. And then I did a deep dive this afternoon after I got home from work. And I was like, oh boy, there's not a lot of young goalies available.
There's a lot of
older, talented goalies. Carey Price is the most notable, but you've got other guys like Tuukka Rask, if he can be healthy, is a great option. Jonathan Quick. I mean, you've got good choices out there of goalies who've had really good NHL careers so far. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the young ones available and or the ones who you know, are maybe just entering the scene there, there's not a lot of options. And Aiden Hill for the Coyotes was going to be the big one, but they traded him. So now he is not exposed, which leaves Kähkönen as one of the better options for young guys if they mm-hmm. wanted to try to steal a young one. So I'm getting a little nervous now because I was like not concerned at all this morning. And now I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm a little worried.
Right. I mean, you do. You wonder if Seattle wants to go all in on developing one of their own, quote mm-hmm. unquote, right? Because he is. And we had this discussion numerous times during the season. Who do you protect, Cam or Kaapo? And this was at the time when Kaapo Kähkönen was playing phenomenally. And then right. Cam Talbot plays phenomenally. I mean, it's such a toss-up. Again, you knew you were gonna you could only protect one. To me, Cam Talbot, sometimes those are a dime a dozen though too, right? Mm-hmm. Like you look at his age and you look at what he was able to come in and do. Who's to say Bill Guerin couldn't find another guy to come in and do that, and so you would protect Kaapo if they were to take Cam. But then you kind of risk, you're like, well, maybe they won't take Kaapo because you have a Carey Price dangling out there. That contract is ginormous, so I would be shocked if yeah. Seattle were to do it, which is why Montreal made the move that they did in protecting right. Jake Allen versus Carey Price. I mean, the other big notable names out there, Alexis, you've got Shea Weber, Vladimir Tarasenko, Gabriel Landeskog. Yeah. I mean, do you think that Seattle's going to make a powerhouse squad like Vegas did in their first run in their first year?
Well, you know what's funny is literally yesterday I roasted Seattle on Twitter because I'm like, haha, everyone's making moves. No one's going to be able to get anybody good.
So many trades. Yeah.
So many trades. And they're doing it like to finesse Seattle, right? Like they're like, hey, I'm going to make this trade. I'm going to get something for this player. And that way you can't have them and I get a good return on this person. So right. Teams were making these last minute moves. I mean, the Wild buyout was in due in part to that. They were trying to set themselves up to do other things so Seattle couldn't take certain people. So I was kind of laughing like, haha, you're not going to get what Vegas got is too bad, so sad. Yeah. Well, now I look at the list that comes out today and I'm like, wait a damn minute.
I know
they're going to have some pretty good options here. And you look at, you know, the combination of veterans and some of these younger guys and, you know, it sucks because at the end of the day, you can't protect everybody. And some of these yeah. teams are just so stacked, like a team like Colorado, who it's like, no matter who you expose is probably going to be a good option because every single one of your players has so much skill. So I'm a little concerned. I'm trying not to think about it.
I mean, you got vet Jeff Skinner out there dangling around too. You've got Adam Henrique. You've got, I mean, I think Alex Ovechkin technically is available. Kevin Shattenkirk, ghost Eric Johnson from Minnesota. I mean, it's crazy to think. And, you know, Vegas, everybody, I think everybody learned from Vegas a little bit. Yeah. Because as you said, Alexis, people were making moves. I love to see it yesterday. I was like, oh, well, we don't want to expose Nick Leddy, so we're going to trade him, which I wish the Wild would have hopped in on that.
I know,
I mean, the one saving grace, I suppose, would be cap space. You only have, you still only have so much to play with. And a lot of these guys carry some hefty contracts. As a reminder, if you aren't aware, Seattle gets to choose one player from all 30 teams. Vegas is exempt because that was something that owner Bill Foley worked into.
I know.
But he doesn't get a cut of like the more than $600 million, which I'm sure as an already millionaire billionaire is probably devastating. Although after this last year, it probably really is. He's probably like, damn, that 23 mil would have been real freaking nice to add in. And then to add to that, the Kraken have to select 14 forwards, 9 defensemen, and 3 goalies, and at least 20 of their players must currently be under contract. They also can dip their toe into some of the pending UFAs, which include Taylor Hall, David Krejcik, Brandon Saad, Kyle Pamolari, Jaden Schwartz, some of those other big names too. So, I mean, damn, Seattle's going to be good. That's all I have to say about it.
And I mean, there's other little rules here and there too, where like they can't buy out a player, you know, in the first year. So like there's certain things set in place where even though some of these players are very appealing, we're like, oh, I could finesse this. Like I could sign this player and then flip it, you know, like a house. It's like, I'm going to take them for a second and I'm going to throw them somewhere else. Mm-hmm. There's a lot set in place to try to avoid those kind of situations. But like we said, at the end of the day, there's still so many good options out there that I really think that, I mean, I was kind of trying to mentally build a team in my head, looking at the protected and exposed list today, just thinking of what is available for them. Mm-hmm. And like you said, those contracts, a lot of them are going to be hard. And so you're going to be limited to signing some of those really, really talented players that are exposed, which that's part of the reason some of these teams end up exposing people like that, because they know this contract is so hefty that they're not going to be able to take this on even if they wanted to. And so there is that bit of an opportunity there for some of these players to still keep these guys on their team, even though they've exposed them. So we'll see what ends up happening. We're only a couple days away from that. I'm sure hockey Twitter is going to be a blast on Wednesday.
Wednesday, 7 p.m., the expansion draft will kick off. I will be at the Beauty League, I'm sure. Hopefully none of those guys get selected. I think Nate Schmidt is exposed, possibly. I can't
Jason Zucker is exposed.
Jason Zucker is exposed. Carson Soucy doesn't play in it, but what would be your bet? My bet would be that Seattle goes with Carson Soucy for sure from the Wild. Is that what you're kind of thinking? I mean, again, I don't feel like the Wild's protected list and the exposed is really all that surprising.
No.
In my mind, then that means Carson Soucy's probably the best option for Seattle. Or what are you thinking, the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, after the buyout and we saw pretty much what the exposed list was going to look like for the Minnesota Wild, the only remaining question was the goaltenders. I think Soucy does make the most sense. I mean, there's some guys on there who would be good options. You know, Bonino and Kohler on there, I mentioned those would be two tough guys to lose. They were a big part of the veteran leadership in the Wild locker room this past year. But you've got a up-and-coming defenseman in Carson Soucy, who I really have enjoyed watching him play. He's a bit of a tough guy. Like, he's not afraid to stick up for his teammates. And I think he's got the potential to really have a high ceiling in the NHL. So I would love to see what he ends up doing. It would suck to lose him, but when you look at the other options, I think I'd rather lose him, you know, than Kakanen. So we'll see who they end up taking. Again, please not Rask, anybody but Rask, Seattle. I'm begging you. If it's not going to be Rask.
I mean, would it be the greatest news in Minnesota if they took Victor Rask for some reason? If they were like, you know what? We like what Bill Guerin has been selling him to us. He said he's this impact player.
Bill
like,
Guerin is the goddamn man. If he can sell Victor Rask to the Seattle Kraken, I am going to get a tattoo of Bill Guerin's face on my forearm. If Bill Guerin,
you heard it, you all heard it. So we've got a kid named Kirill Kaprizov, and we're going to have a tattoo of Bill Guerin's face on Alexis's ass. Photographic evidence. You can purchase that on our OnlyFans account that we will be starting, I'm sure, later.
It's just an account where like all of my bets come to fruition that I've lost.
Yeah, basically, me doing this, I would pay money for that. I think everybody that listens to this would pay money for that.
Oh my god!
Speaking of betting, watch this segue. Better Edge, as always, they've got some really, really cool new bets coming out. Obviously MLB in full swing, they've got all that. The NFL, they're gonna be kicking off something huge. In case you missed it, they were featured in Yahoo Finance last week, which was very, very cool because they are doing some just awesome stuff. Great guys. As always, you can get a free $10 when you sign up with Better Edge using code Beautes, B-E-A-U-T-S. Again, that's Beautes, B-E-A-U-T-S, for some free money when you sign up at Better Edge, BETTOR edge.com. So shout out to those guys, keep trucking. We'll have another round of Beat the Buttes and something. I think we might even try to compete against our buddies at 10K Takes or something.
Oh, bring it.
I know, right? We love competing against anybody. Drop us competition. We're in. We'll do it on betteredge.com. So as always, that's a great one. Good segue there. See how I did that? It's good to be back. God, it's good to be back and create segues.
Listen, you make it look so easy. I got to say, when I was doing it myself, I'm like, I don't know how she does this. She just kills it every time.
I know. So and we also have this week too, in addition to the expansion draft, the nice thing is there's a nice little freeze. So people can't bother me for the next couple of days, which is really exciting. But then you have the regular entry draft this weekend. Alexis, do you think the Wild have some big, big numbers finally again in the first round? You got two first round picks. Do you think that they're going to be able to pull some good players in the expansion? And what are your thoughts there?
Well, we'll see, because they've got some young guys obviously on that exposed list for Seattle. And if by chance they end up taking some of those younger guys, you know, just for example, a guy like Manel, right, who's a younger guy, plays most of his time in the AHL. If someone like that gets taken, the Wild might look to try to fill those shoes once the regular draft comes around. So I really think it depends on what happens in the expansion draft and even just seeing what other teams do and what they might be looking for, and then trying to figure out how you can leverage yourself in the regular draft to get what you want. So At this point, it's one of those things where I'm like, I got to see what happens with the expansion draft first, and then I might have a better idea of what the Wild want to do in the regular draft. But man, it is a chaotic time. I think something that the Wild have going for them is the Wild really, you know, have a good prospect pool for the first time in a really long time, which to me gives you the opportunity to take a chance in this year, in a draft like this year, right? Like, you've already got some good structure there with your young guys and those guys who are, you know, between the AHL and NHL. And I think that's a promising thing. So you don't have to necessarily swing for the fences here and you're trying to fill these big holes and, you know, oh, I need this immediately. Maybe you take a chance here and go for something that you wouldn't normally under different circumstances. But yeah, I want to see what happens in the expansion draft first and then see what the Wild are going to be working with for the regular draft.
Hell yeah. I mean, so much does it relies on what happens in the expansion, who you lose, whether you need, what holes you need to fill. And unfortunately, there's no development camp this year, so you can't really get one extra look at some of these Wild players. According to SB Nation Hockey Wilderness, they said that Francisco Pinelli would be the likely pick for the Minnesota Wild at number 25. Who they are described as a top tier offensive vision who plays a very, very smart game. Obviously adding more offense is solid. You want to add another center, I'm sure. Imagine
especially
that
with that 5-year contract the Wild are about to sign Kirill Kaprizov to, right?
Yeah. Again, I'm having nightmares that it's two years. That's
it's
it.
Not, if it's 2 years, I quit. I can't.
It's 2 years. That's
it's not
all.
Not going to be two. No.
Yes, I know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, so we'll see. Again, we might be doing something fun for the entry draft. Certainly follow along on all of our social media channels, all of our YouTube to see what we've got up our sleeves for that. I've heard the prospect or the draft, what am I calling them?
Draft class.
Thank you. Good.
Welcome
work,
back,
Alexis.
Baby.
is not as strong as past years either too. So we'll see. We'll brush up on our
are any of us as strong this year as we were in past years?
No,
either.
I mean, I feel like I'm honest. Stronger, you know, I can, yeah, maybe a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Really. Yeah, I know. Alex is like, damn, well, I'm not. That's
just me then? Okay.
It's just you. And then before we sign off, before we get to Neil Sheehy and David Backus, we do want to remind you guys that the Beauty League is going on. It officially kicked off last week. Good solid crowd. It was so awesome to see Bar Down Beauty's fans out there, Bar Down Beauty's merch. We absolutely loved that. And it just felt like, again, the world is healing, Alexis. Mm-hmm. It was so wonderful. You're going to be out there joining me a couple times. And I believe even maybe producer Fred, is that right?
Yeah, rumor has it. Producer Fred, can you confirm?
Even though we exposed you to Seattle in the
expansion
draft.
We did. Sorry about that.
But
yeah.
I'm just going to be up in the rafters and you have to spot me.
Yeah. It's like, where's Waldo?
It's creepy.
Where's producer? Yeah, why the rafters? How are you going to get up there?
Yeah. I don't know.
I have questions.
How are you going to get down from there?
I fly,
you
know, magically. Worry about that.
Okay.
God. He just better hope you'll
get picked up.
Who is that guy? We don't know.
We don't know.
It's weird. But yeah, so be sure to check that out. Again, happening in Edina on Wednesdays through the end of the month, and then they'll toss in Mondays and Wednesdays coming up in August. But it's a really great time, especially if you have kids.
Yeah.
It's a really awesome opportunity for them to get up close and personal with some big names that are out there, NHL guys, future NHL guys. I'm sure a lot of really high-end talent, not that I need to remind you all. And Ben Hankinson does a very nice job. Go and listen to our episode with Ben. We'll have him back on again
plug.
This year. Plug, go back. As always, subscribe, rate, listen to everything that we put out because it's always good. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Neil Sheehy and David Backus. Stay tuned.
It might be the off season, but that doesn't mean you can't still shop Bar Down Beauty's apparel. Get yourself a tank to add to your summer wardrobe or a Bar Down Beauty sticker to slap on your water bottle to stay hydrated in the summer heat. Whatever you want, we've got it. All at our Bar Down Beauty's Teespring store.
We're back. Joining us now, one of the best agents in NHL, representing a number of names, including now former Minnesota Wild defenseman Ryan Suter. Also one of my particular faves because he's a guy that knows and appreciates Rainy Lake, Minnesota, Mr. Neil Sheehy. Neil, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jesse. Just up here in northern Minnesota on Rainy Lake once again.
You know, it's a beautiful day up there. Tell people how awesome International Falls is. You're an I Falls native, a Bronco, if you will. How wonderful of a place is it to be?
Well, I spend a good part of my summer up here now. It's definitely God's country, and there's no more peaceful place that I've been to on earth. So I really enjoy being up here.
You and me alike, I'm sure it's nice to be in a peaceful place as a little bit of chaos has hit down here in the cities with the news that the Minnesota Wild were going to buy out your client Ryan Suter's contract on Tuesday. I mean, how blindsided were you and how blindsided was Ryan to get that news from GM Bill Guerin?
Well, it was a shock. Ryan didn't expect it, and he called me, and I certainly hadn't heard anything, and I certainly didn't expect it. But every team, they're the ones looking to do their thing, and Bill's a new general manager, and he's entitled to do what he feels he needs to do in order to progress his team. And so I look at it that Ryan had a great 9-year run. It's not his decision to leave Minnesota. He thought he'd be here the rest of his career, but sometimes you get a curveball, and this was Ryan's curveball, and now the next steps for him is to try and hit that out of the park.
Right. I mean, I imagine, have you started fielding calls? Free agency starts on the 28th, but I'm sure you're always kind of sniffing around. I imagine there's interest for a player like Ryan Suter.
Well, yeah, Ryan, he's an effective unrestricted free agent immediately. Mm-hmm. The paperwork was filed by the Wild, so he is no longer part of the organization. And as of right now, I'm free to talk to anybody. And so, yes, I've been on the phone, and Ryan he'll land on his feet somewhere.
Right. And I mean, it's got to be nice. At least he gets to dictate again where he goes when that time comes, right? He's able to say yes, no to teams that pique his interest.
Yes. Yeah. He's an unrestricted free agent. And now we have more time. It's not wait till a date and, try and negotiate and have something done, within an hour. Right. We have time to look at some situations and see what's best for Ryan and his family. And he had a great situation with his family in Minnesota. His wife's from Minnesota. His kids are born here. He's four kids, and they're all in hockey programs and things. Let's say there's a little upheaval, regarding the family. And I think what's most important to Ryan at this point is his family. And, his next steps will be with a team that, he wants to go and win a Stanley Cup somewhere, but make sure that his family's comfortable.
Right. And because, I mean, he's nowhere near ready to hang it up, right? I know that question's been tossed around, but I mean, Ryan Suter doesn't appear to be having slowed at all or ready to say, hey, I'm going to walk away from the game. I mean, he still has a lot left in him to play at this level.
Well, as Ryan said to me, he wasn't, he was taken back by it a little bit. He just said, Neil, he says, I have a lot of hockey left in me. One of the things I've said with Ryan, the only thing that's really gone down with Ryan from what I see is he used to be playing 30 minutes a game, and now he's playing 22, 23 minutes a game. And if you look at a lot of top defensemen on other teams, 23 minutes is still a lot of ice time.
Right. I mean, it's kind of speculation, and I don't know how much you have speculated on this. I mean, do you think the expansion draft played a larger part in Bill's decision to do this, or do you think it was to gain a little bit of immediate cap space? What would be kind of a reason do you think that he would look at buying out both Ryan and Zach at the same time?
Well, I guess when you look at it, logically would be, Ryan and Zach are, 36 and 37. I would say that, you can only protect so many players, but if he didn't buy them out, he would have to protect them. Mm-hmm. So that would mean leaving two younger players exposed. And, I think he just looked and said, we don't want to do that. I guess last time there was an expansion, Minnesota lost two guys, one Alex Tuck and I know it lost another player who's gone on to play really well. And I guess they don't want to lose good young players again.
Right. I mean, lesson learned. I'm sure most teams learned from their approach to Vegas heading into Seattle now. I mean, you had said Ryan had a tremendous 9 years here. I mean, go back, if you will, to that 4th of July date when the signing was official. What was that like for you, and how excited was Ryan to come here and to do it with Zach too? I mean, two of the biggest agents on the market at that time in 2012.
Yeah. I mean, it was a special time. And, you know, on July 1, we just went through the process and we were so overwhelmed with calls that we couldn't really make a decision. So we just announced that there wouldn't be a decision on July 1. And then all of a sudden July 2 was the same. And I think that's on July 2nd, I think, is when Ryan and Zach started talking together, and it kind of took a turn. We met with the Wild and then by July 4th, we had a deal, and it was a whirlwind tour. That's for sure.
Were the Wild the team that he had kind of highly thought, like you said, you were fielding a lot of calls. I know I was for one shocked that Ryan Suter came this way. I kind of thought maybe Zach Parise, but I mean, was he looking pretty heavily at Minnesota just based on his connections here, as you had mentioned earlier?
I think we are open to anything. And, you know, whenever you go into these situations, I mean, it's really important to go somewhere that you're wanted. I mean, you can have your own wish list, but if you know, you can't sit and pound a square into a round hole. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody doesn't, if a team isn't excited about getting you right from the beginning, and you have a lot of others that are, I think then it's always better to go with the team that's excited about having you. Certainly Minnesota was, excited at the time, and they showed it. And the more Ryan and Zach talked to Minnesota, the more they decided that was the right place for them.
Right. I mean, there was so much expectation put on this team and this organization when Zach and Ryan started. People were saying Stanley Cups multiple, not even just one, because they have Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. I mean, how disappointed do you think Ryan has been that he hasn't been able to achieve that? I mean, he has high expectations for himself. Zach does as well. Do you feel like he's leaving here kind of feeling like there's unfinished business as well?
Well, I think every competitor has the goal of winning the Stanley Cup. And that wasn't accomplished for those two here. And they're both competitors. I know, Ryan's goal is to win the Stanley Cup. The unfortunate part is that it's not going to be in Minnesota, but now he's excited to find a new home so he can go win it.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully not in a team that the Wild will have to see often, but obviously that's not up to us anymore. Bill Guerin had told us that he'd been thinking about this for 6 to 8 months. And I know we've kind of already addressed that it was a shock, but I mean, truly, did you guys have any sense, or did Bill reach out or give any kind of sort of hints that maybe he was looking at doing a buyout with Ryan as well?
Nothing with me and Ryan. Ryan had no idea. There was different speculation and different articles and things that were written regarding Zach. That could happen, but there was never any indication with Ryan that's the direction they were going. Everybody has to make decisions, and that's why there are deadlines. And there's a deadline coming, and Bill made the decision that he felt he had to make. And we have to adjust accordingly. But as I said, it wasn't a situation that Ryan wanted to be in, but he's in it. Now he has to adjust and find a new home.
Right. And how is Ryan adjusting? I imagine it's taken a little bit of time to process and kind of come to terms with that idea that you are no longer going to be playing here and finish out, the career as you had seen it here in Minnesota.
Well, that was the thing. These are the parts of the business of hockey that people don't really know and understand. But I certainly understand it, and I've been around it a lot. And I just told Ryan to just sit tight right now and talk to his family and make sure that they're all right. And there's going to be plenty of time here to find his next home. And I think the first, as an athlete, you want to win the Stanley Cup. So, he has, he has that opportunity to look at different teams that potentially can win. And then, you know, so that's one thing, but the most important thing for Ryan is his family. And I think that's what he feels, bad about the most. Just, you know, he has, four kids and they're all involved in hockey, and his wife is from Minnesota. So it's a hard day and it's a hard week, I'm sure. So
is he going to miss the quick trip commercials as well? Is that another part that will be,
hey, listen, when you put 9 years somewhere and, you know, and like I say, your wife's from Minnesota. I mean, this was his home. He made this his home, and no matter what, it's going to be hard.
Right. Well, we certainly at Bardown Beauties wish Ryan all the best. We'll let you get going, Neil, because we know you're a busy guy. You've got a lot to do, a lot of calls to field, and also a lake to enjoy when you can find the time. So, but thank you so much for taking the time to update us on that. Look forward to seeing where Ryan lands and how his career ends up going from here on out. Joining us now, one of Minnesota's favorite natives, Mr. David Backus. David, how's it swinging out there?
Doing all right. I think I'm already sunburned. might have wasted all my good shots on the range, but that's all right. That's not what it's all about. I just didn't want to hurt myself on the first tee. So
that's important, I think.
Sufficiently warmed up and ready to go.
Are you better long game, short game? Not at all any
game? The further away from the hole, the better I am.
Yes.
So off the tee, it looks pretty, and then it goes downhill from there.
You lose a lot of balls out here?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to lose a lot or how hard my team's going to want me to swing, but I'm willing to be a good team guy, whatever's required of me. Let's go.
You know, that's kind of your MO in general. You're such a great team guy. I mean, we saw that throughout your entire career. How did this season go for you, and what are your reactions looking back?
Well, I think this year was challenging for everyone, mm-hmm. with COVID and protocols and isolation, and, you know, even seeing your teammates always with a mask unless you're in game action or in practice. So that's tough. And on top of that, the idea of like the team bonding and the stuff away from the rink, which is, you find out how much you really enjoy that when it's taken away from you. So that stuff was all difficult. A little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, being fully vaccinated and being out of those protocols. You wish you were still competing for a Stanley Cup, but nonetheless, you got some freedom after the season. So, back to seeing people's faces and smiling at them, and, you know, just going to a store now for me is like, it's so enjoyable to go in there and see somebody that's greeting you with a smile, and you can reciprocate and just bring joy and have human interaction in person again. So missing all those things throughout the season, and to get those back now, I think it's a little light at the end of the tunnel.
Is that hard to get a team to gel, especially when you've got guys kind of coming and going? You know, in Anaheim, it's a younger team that's trying to collaborate with some veterans. I mean, was that difficult to get a team culture going because you weren't able to hang out as much as you might?
Very much so, and I think some of the teams maybe that had COVID issues early, I don't know if that was because they were pushing those boundaries a little bit, those teams seem to have a little more success with a little more continuity throughout their group and connectedness, and that was a huge challenge, talking with the coaching staff and leadership group of like, what are we going to do to keep each other safe, keep the staff safe, but also we need some bonding somehow, and you only get so much of that if you're learning on the job. Just in games, you're kind of behind the rest of the team. So that was a challenge, no question. And looking back, I think we're proud as a team in Anaheim of how we, we had zero confirmed cases throughout the year. Yeah. So we did a good job. Maybe that was due to outside recreation at our fingertips in Southern California. But it was a battle like I think everyone's gone through in professional sports. A lot of times, you see the stuff that's on TV, but we were not, immune to some of those troubles that COVID brought to the whole world.
Right. Well, what did you think about the formatting of play this year with playing the same teams over and over again? Very old school when there only was six teams to play against, right? Did you like that style, or were you missing out on kind of seeing some more of those other teams you'd normally see in a season?
I think it would have been nice to not just be stuck inside your division.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a necessity this year, but what I do think was great was the series where you went to a city, played two games, cut down on some travel. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the year, we had five games against LA in the last like 2 weeks of the season, which is a short bus ride for us, but you're wondering, are those just going to be, bloodbaths the way it might have been 15 years ago when I first got in the league. But I think the culture and the way that the league, the game's played now has adapted, and it's safer to do at least a two-game set in a series, cut down some travel, be able to not have to be on the plane all the time, and to, you know, see a team twice in a row. And maybe there's a little bit of, you know, pushing and shoving, but it's not like pick your guy on the other team and go after him the way it might have been a little bit ago. So I think some of those things are probably going to stick if it were, you know, up to me going forward. Mm-hmm. Some of the other stuff, like only in your division, not being able to see. And part of that's brought intrigue to me, like with the Final Four. And, a lot of people are giving it a hard time to the North Division that they're not legit, and that's where all the high-scoring guys are. Well, they got a team in the finals. So, you know, I was interested. Like, those teams haven't seen each other all year, and that hasn't happened in the past 10 years. So it's been interesting for me to tune in.
Yeah. I liked the nitty-grittiness of the series. It's kind of like playoff hockey, but in the regular season a little bit, right? It's like, okay, we get to see these guys three times this week, and then we'll see them again in 2 weeks. It's kind of like, you know,
it's a new
you
rivalry.
Build those animosities. Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun.
And you got to, you know, one team's going to try to establish themselves as the alphas, and you either got to step up to the plate, or you can send a message, or, you know, I thought in a three-game series, you could use the first game kind of as the first game of a playoff series.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to tenderize some defensemen and see if they want to show up for all three of these games, or maybe we get a couple of them to be shy and not play their best game, and then you got the edge for the whole time. So, I really like that, and I hope that sticks.
One series that we saw obviously meant a lot to you was against St. Louis in St. Louis. Go back to that moment. I mean, we saw very emotional. How cool was it, though, for that city still to have such fond, amazing memories of you?
Well, both ways. We still have very fond memories of St. Louis, and got to have a, I don't know if it was as emotional, but my kids haven't seen me play in 2 years. I've just been sporadically playing and with young kids with night games. To get them to a game, especially in Boston at 7 o'clock at night, meant that they were probably disasters the next day. So I got a little heads up that I was playing my last game likely at home. Mm-hmm. So my wife and both my kids and my parents flew in to, because I didn't know if that was going to be my last one. Mm-hmm. So they got to see me play kind of one more time at home, and then going on the road and in St. Louis to have a nice tribute, and for guys to stay after and shake my hand was, you know, my parents there too. And it was just all the feels, and obviously got to cry my face off a little bit. And just so many floods of emotions. So blessed to have been playing this game for 15 years. And to, you know, if that is the end, to have a nice cherry on top in the city that I really love playing for and that really embraced me as a person, my wife as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to ask. I mean, have you made a decision on your future? Is it something that you're going to kind of take your time with? Because it is. It's a hard thing to say, all right, I'm walking away from this huge chapter of my life.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know if I'm shy about it, or I just find it so final to be I'm done. So it's a probability I'm done, but I'm not, I guess, slamming that door. I don't know, maybe mid-August all of a sudden you get a burr in your boot and you want to fire it up and give it one more try. But likely that was it. And if it was, couldn't. Other than raising a Stanley Cup over my head, that's about as good as it gets, I think.
Absolutely. Have you been talking to a lot of other guys? I know you, plenty of fellow former teammates obviously have been in this position. Yeah. Do you pick their brains at all as to how to make that decision?
Yeah, I think each one's so unique that a lot of guys, you know, it's injury or teams, you know, don't want your services anymore, which may be the case. I don't know if we explore that. It could be that I'm like, oh, I want one more year.
And like, no.
There's no takers, and I'm left at the altar alone. But, I just think so many guys have been supportive, and, you know, I've got young kids and a wife and a lot of life ahead of me, and that's not passed me by, that those are realities of kind of my next chapter. So we'll factor that all in. We'll enjoy some summer months and some sun, and we'll see what happens.
And before we let you go, we got to talk about your own charity as well, Athletes for Animals. I mean, are you excited to devote some more time to that too, if that is, in fact, you know, kind of the next step? I know it's a very, very important cause for you and your wife.
It is. I think I'm excited about taking some of the load off her from all of those extracurricular activities.
I'm sure she's very appreciative.
From parenting and the day-to-day and keeping the household running to the charity running, that, you know, it's pretty much her, and I'm step in every once in a while to give her a hand when I'm able, or I can do some clerical work while I'm on the road. But to team up with those types of tasks, you know, we found as a couple so much growth in our relationship and serving others and being able to, you know, help others and volunteer. It's just such a great way to go shoulder to shoulder with your best friend and your partner in life to go serve others and do things together and have that gratification and say, hey, you know what, we've been so blessed, it's time to give some back. And you know, Jason and Carly and and Kyle and the Rudolphs do such a great job here as well.
Yeah. How can people get more involved in your charity or where can they find out more information to make donations, monetary or time-wise?
Sure. We're athletesforanimals.org, and there's a donate tab there. We have some one-off events. We've always, or we've done an annual wine taster, the Minnesota Meritage. We've done two of them. COVID, obviously, threw a wrench in the gear. I doubt we're going to
get... We can be out there for the... We can taste the wine if you'd like.
Make sure it's suitable for human consumption. We always need those. so we do some one-off charity fundraisers, and all the money that comes in goes back out to other organizations in the form of grants. So we vet them, make sure they're got their affairs in order, and then check out their programs and try to confront homeless pets and animal needs all across the country and North America to, you know, make their lives better for the voiceless. So that's what we try to do, and then collaborate with athletes to speak up for their causes in their areas too. And it's been so well received, and we've just had a blast doing it and want to keep that work going.
Awesome. Well, David, we'll let you go swing away, as they say. Thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate the time.
Thank you very much. I'll set my chiropractor appointment up for tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Cheers.
Cheers. We're going to have a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just wanted to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
I mean, I don't want to give ourselves a pat on the back, but those were two pretty phenomenal guests, so I'm going to... add on the back.
You don't want to, but you're gonna, and you should, because it was fantastic.
So nice. Like, Neil was so great to hop on. I texted him almost immediately because I remembered that he was Ryan's agent, and I was like, I know Suter's not gonna talk to any of us for quite some time, but Neil could maybe chitter chatter with me. So thank you to him, and then thanks to David Backus too, who's just a great human being. I'm interested to see what he ends up deciding, and wish him all the best in whatever he decides. He's had a hell of a career if he decides to hang it up. And I know he's got a great family and whatnot to focus on too. So thank you to both of them for hopping in, joining us. And Alexis, what do you want to sign off with? What do you want to do?
I just want to once again beg Seattle to not take Victor Rask in the expansion draft. And that's really all I have for this episode.
It would be detrimental to the Minnesota Wild. Kirill Kaprizov actually specifically requested to play with him. So you'd really be hindering the team very hard if you took
How many Rask. Angry YouTube comments are we going to get for the Victor Rask bit returning in this episode?
What if people don't get the bit? Guys, we're kidding. We would love for Victor Rask to go, just in case that hasn't been made abundantly clear.
It's a bit, you guys. It's a joke. It's fine. I'm sure he's a great person. I just really don't want him on my hockey team. That's all.
Wow. It's not on any, nowhere near my hockey team. I'm going to put that out there.
So, love you, Victor Rask.
It happens. Right. This is what happens. It's part
that's
of the
sports,
game.
Baby. What
that's
do you want?
Sports,
from me?
Baby. That's sports.
That's sports, baby.
No, thank you guys for tuning into another episode of Bar Down Beauties. Thanks as always to Jim Beam, who makes delicious drinks for us, which I can partake in now, guys. I have been reminding myself that I can drink again.
Jesse's alcoholic revenge tour has begun.
Yes, exactly. I have like two drinks and I'm like, I'm good. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. Like, I'm old. Like, that's all right, though. It's good.
That's okay. That saves you money. You don't need that much to feel good. And then you're good to go.
A cheap date. Absolutely. Thanks as always again to our presenting sponsor, sodastick.com. Don't forget Bar Down Beauties. We'll get you 15% off all purchases. They got some sick Bar Down Beauties hats, which sold out so fast, which is a bummer, but also very exciting.
Yeah. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah. But it also gives you the opportunity to create your own kind of custom coloring or what kind of hat you want. So be sure to reach out to SodaStick and they will work with you on what kind of hat you want to design with that sweet little Bar Down Beauties logo. So we appreciate you all. Always cool to see people rocking and repping the merch. Better Edge, BETTOREdge.com. Thanks to them. Don't forget Buttes, BEAUTS, gets you that free money. And Tony Hoagland at State Farm. And of course, Talk North as well for letting us be featured on their lovely, lovely network. A lot of other great podcasts. So be sure to go check them out too, beyond just us. After you listen to us, make sure you listen to us first and then you can go listen to everybody else. That's fine with us. So, and thanks to all of you. You guys are awesome. You keep us skyrocketing up. I think we're number 35 in the U.S. for hockey podcasts.
Yeah, hockey. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to everybody for listening.
You want to have some enthusiasm, Fred or Alexis?
Yay, yeah, we did. Fred, where's the trumpet? Bring back the trumpet, would you? Now is the time for it.
That was put away. My kids started trying to play it, and I was like, no, no, no.
Oh, that'll happen. Kids, man. They
yeah, suck. Kids. No. Am I right?
They suck. But thanks to you guys all. You're awesome. We love it. Please keep engaging with us, whether it's on social media, on our YouTube. Please be sure to rate and subscribe. That helps us out as well and keeps bringing you content. We've got a lot more really great guests. I heard Bruce Boudreau. I heard Curtis Gabriel. I heard Marcus Foligno.
These are all true.
Maybe Nick Foligno. Yeah. I don't know, guys.
Possibly at the same time.
That's all the more reason to subscribe and rate.
If you subscribe, you'll be the first to know. So.
First to know. All right. Well, have a great rest of your week, everybody. Stay tuned for more content and more hockey off-season dramatics, possibly. And we'll leave you with that. Have a good one. Near, 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 near.